And that song is about the Book of Life and having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this morning, Harmony was celebrating the fact that it was 2 years ago yesterday that she had been saved. And from the time of her salvation, her name is permanently written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I see Ross back there, and he got saved just a few weeks ago. And praise the Lord for his salvation. And from that moment on, you are permanently recorded in God's book, in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what that's about. And praise the Lord for the fact that we are forever recorded in God's book and cannot be taken out. And praise the Lord for that. Well, tonight I want to talk about the other side of communicating with God. This morning we talked about the Bible, reading God's Word. And when we read God's Word, it's God's Word speaking to us. God is speaking to us through His Word. But the other side of that is prayer, and that is when we talk to God, all right? And so it's the other side of the conversation. God speaks to us through His Word, and I suggest that we let Him do most of the talking. But on the other side of the equation, on the other side of the fence, is the subject and the attitude of prayer. And so what is prayer and the simplicity of prayer? Let me just say this, that prayer is talking to God. And I want to encourage you to get into the habit of talking to God. Prayer is not dressing up and going to a church building and then talking to God. Although you certainly can pray right now and pray in church at any time. But prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not so much a posture or a position as it is communicating with God. And it could be that you're driving down the road and you can have an opportunity to just pray and talk to the Lord at that time. If you read Nehemiah, he had to pray on his feet real quick when the king asked Nehemiah a question. Nehemiah had to pray and then instantly answer the king as he was praying. But praying is talking to the Lord. Sometimes we have people that are called on to pray, and that's not a bad thing to publicly pray. But sometimes people hear a very good prayer or a very eloquent prayer or something that sounds very impressive. And we began to think that prayer has to sound like somebody else. But prayer is talking to God. It's communicating with God. And it's encouraging when we pray together. And I would encourage you to meet when we have our times of prayer. On Sunday morning at 9:10, some of us meet together. We started that a couple of years ago. Bob and I went down to a meeting in Douglas, Wyoming, at Pastor Ricker's church. And in fact, they're having another meeting about that in a couple of weeks from now. I don't remember which day it is. I'll have to find out. But it was just a meeting to encourage men to pray together. And so Bob and I had gone to that meeting, and that's when we started meeting at 9:10 on Sunday morning to pray. And so some of us meet for prayer time at 9:10. Some of us meet at 8:10 and pray before the van goes out to pick up young people. And then on Wednesday nights, we meet at 6:15. And it's a time for prayer as well. And we split up into groups and we pray then also. But prayer can be private as well. And if you pray in private, and if you pray and talk to the Lord in private, then it won't be such a big deal to pray in front of others because you're still talking to the same God. It is talking to Him. It is not about talking to the other people in the room. It's about talking to the Lord. And so prayer needs to be understood in a simple way. We need to remember how simple prayer really is. Let's start with Psalm 65. We'll be mainly in Psalms. We might go to a couple different places as well, but Psalm 65. Now, as we get started, Psalm 65 and verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I want to give you five C's tonight concerning prayer. Number one, coming. Prayer is coming to God. It's about coming to Him. And so obviously we have to start out with the understanding that when we pray, we are coming to God. And you must come to the Lord. You don't have to come to a church building in order to pray to God. But you must come to the throne of grace. In Psalm 102 and verse number 1, it says, Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. We need to come to Him and believe in Him. It says in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So prayer is coming to God. And also in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, and I'm going to read verse 16 first of all, Hebrews 4:16, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This coming involves boldly. Aaliyah is not in the room now. She went out with Miss Wilma. But I think of boldly, I think of Aaliyah coming to her dad. All right? Now, if you know anything about Aaliyah and she wants to talk to her dad, she's going to talk to her dad. And you might try to stop her, but she's going to talk to her dad. It's going to happen. And if she wants something, she's going to tell him. And she's going to tell him loudly. Aaliyah hardly ever says anything quiet. It's loud. All right? And she, when she talks to her dad, it's bold. All right? She's bold about it. She's talking to him, and she's just boldly requesting. You know what? We need to learn to come boldly to the throne of grace. A child doesn't care about, you know, formalities. A child's not so worried about formalities or all that. They just, that's my dad, and I need him. That's my dad, and I got a request from him. I need to ask him something. That's boldly. We need to think of that when we come boldly. Now, why does it say boldly? Let's back up to verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Catholic Church teaches that there are these human priests, that people must go to their human priest here on earth and ask them for requests to God. Listen, the Bible tells us that we have a great high priest in heaven. And he's not dead and then in heaven. No, he rose again alive and went back to heaven alive. And so we have a living high priest that we can talk to. So prayer is talking to a living, risen Savior who is our high priest. And you're not going to find a better high priest than him. And so those of us who are saved, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, not because we deserve it, but because he provided that access for us to come boldly to the throne. And so we can come to God. You might say, oh, well, he doesn't have time to hear me. Yes, he does. Speaking of that, if you or I were to try to make an appointment with the President of the United States, past, present, future, I mean, we'd have to wait years to maybe even get on the list. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. In fact, if you wanted to meet with the governor of South Dakota, you'd probably have to wait several weeks to finally get in. But you know what? With your Heavenly Father, through the access of the mediator Jesus Christ, you can come boldly right now. Anytime, instantly come boldly before the throne of grace. There is no necessary appointment or calling a secretary or talking to Pastor Matt to see if I can get you in. No, no, no. It's just you and Christ coming boldly to the throne of grace. Think about that. That's what coming is. We need to recognize the opportunity that we have to come. So it's not only a matter of opportunity, but it's also a command. Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We need to learn to come boldly. It says in John 6:37, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You just have to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you just have to believe that he is listening. Every time I talk to someone about salvation, and they bow their head and they pray and ask Christ to save them, as soon as they lift their head, I usually ask them something like this. Do you think God was listening? Do you think God did this when you started praying? Of course not. Because he says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you say, yeah, but it's just little old me. Surely he's too busy. No, he's fantastic. He can hear all of us at the same time. He's able to understand and communicate and listen and know what we are crying out to him about. And so the problem is not that God has his phone lines jammed. The problem is that we don't come like we should. We need to learn to come to him. And so prayer is simply coming to God. And coming to God with a boldness of understanding that, like as Aaliyah with her father, so our Father wants us to just jump into his lap and talk to him about whatever it is that's on our mind. And to come boldly, to come to him. So then, secondly, Another C that you can write down if you want to is back in Psalms, and we'll look at Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. Along with coming, then, is the idea of calling. Calling. And so in Psalm 4 and verse number 1, it says, "Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." We need to recognize that we have to come to him, but also prayer is calling. And that idea of calling is asking. Prayer really is asking. Someone said that prayer is just asking and receiving. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which now knowest not." My daughter's in-laws, the parents of my son-in-law, they were here last month, and he was preaching, and he said something about, you know what, there is no prayer that's too insignificant for God. He was talking about the fact that they ran out of wine, and Jesus turning the water to wine that day. There's no prayer that's too insignificant for God. If it's a problem for you, you ought to tell God about it. And either he'll tell you, you know what, that problem shouldn't be a problem, but you've allowed it to become a problem. He'll answer you some way or another. But we need to learn to talk to God about things. And in my pride, oh, I can't bother God with that. That's just too insignificant. I think that's an insult to God. We need to learn to pray more and to ask him for things. To ask him for the little things and maybe the things that we don't think are worth mentioning. But you know what? If they're worth thinking about and if they're irritating us or bothering us or consuming our thoughts, we need to give them to the Lord and call on upon him and ask him. And ask him for the things that we want from him. And so call upon him. The idea of calling is asking. Look with me in chapter 50, verse 15, and then chapter 55. Psalm 50, verse 15. "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." You know, I sometimes get this pessimistic attitude, and a couple weeks ago, our car started acting up in the transmission. There's just something wrong, you know, and we took it to the mechanic, and I'm just thinking the worst, because I had read all these negative things about the transmission for that particular car, and I just thought, oh boy, here it goes, you know. And you know what? The Lord blessed, and the Lord provided the fix for less than $350. I thought it was going to be 10 times that amount. And God took care of the need and the issue. We need to learn to trust the Lord and call upon him for those things in our life, and just call out to him in the day of trouble. "I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Now, that's the part we have to remember, is to glorify him and to praise him for when he takes care of the issue. Chapter 55 and verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." You know, that's how you get saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I mentioned Ross getting saved just a few weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago. You know how it happened? He called on the Lord. That means he asked. That's how you get saved. You ask. All right? And so calling upon the Lord is asking. It's asking for that salvation. And it's based on a relationship. It's just like I said earlier about a daughter with her father or a child with her father. "Daddy, may I please have?" And so it's not so much that we have unanswered prayer, but a lot of times we have unoffered prayer. We're not asking like we should. We're not asking. We just think that, oh, God would never do that. Well, why not? Why not ask him? Maybe you'd be surprised at how much he wants to hear from us. Psalm 116 and verse number 2. Psalm 116 and verse 2. "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." You know what that means? That means that when you're calling, it means he's leaning towards you. You're calling out to him, and he's not doing this. Have you ever talked to someone, and especially a child, and you couldn't quite, so you kind of lean in? That's what that verse is saying. He inclined unto me. As you're calling out to him, he leans in, and I'm not saying that God has bad hearing, but he inclines unto me, the Bible says. He inclines his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Think about it. Our Lord has the ability and the compassion and the comprehension to be able to, in all of whatever's going on, to incline and to listen in. So it's not that God can't hear. It's on our end. Maybe we're not calling, or maybe we're not asking with a humble heart. I say humble heart. Turn with me to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. In James chapter number 4, it says, verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He's not leaning back and resisting, but rather he's giving grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. A lot of times, the reason why we don't get prayers answered, or why God's not listening, is because in our asking, we're asking the wrong way. We're not asking in tune with his spirit in a humble heart. In James chapter 4 and verse number 2, it says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And then verse 3 says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. We're not thinking about what God's will is in the matter. We're just thinking about ourselves. However, when we begin to have a humble heart, we recognize what really matters and what's important. A lot of asking doesn't need to be asked because it's just not the right thing to ask. However, there's a lot of asking that never gets asked because we just don't, by faith and trust, and maybe it's because we're too proud. I think for me, a lot of it, that's what it is. Well, I don't need to pray for that. I can do it myself. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I do think that God gives us two hands and two feet, and we should be able to do things for ourselves. However, in humanity, I think as you get older, you start to realize there comes a limit to that. There's only so much we can do on our own. And God has ways of humbling us and giving us a challenge that we cannot do with our own strength. And I think he does that so that we will crawl up into his lap and ask him for what we need. We sang it this morning in Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Sometimes I'm ashamed of myself because I stopped praying for something I should have kept praying for. Just kind of gave up and just decided it was never going to happen. That's wrong. We should continue to ask and seek and knock. We should continue to ask for God to do those things in our life. And so, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so, coming to God is what we need to do in prayer. And remembering, it's about calling out. It's about asking him, asking our Father for the need that we have. And then, we kind of already have seen it in some of what we've read, but look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18. There's a third C, and that is crying. Psalm 18 and verse number 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Psalm 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Psalm 55, verse 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know what crying is? Crying is desperation. Now, let me just say right now, there's a bunch of us in here that we don't like desperation. Because that's humbling. That's humiliating to be desperate. It's humiliating to be desperate. I don't want to have to get to the point where I'm crying. I'll go get a loan from the bank before you're going to see me cry. I'm going to pull out the credit card and use it. I'll just pull myself up from my own bootstraps and fix. No. I think God allows us to get to the point where there's just some things we can't fix on our own. You know, it says in Romans chapter 8, it says, likewise the Spirit, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Did you know that sometimes praying is not intelligible language that your partner can understand? There's some praying. I talked about meeting together in prayer. And yet there's some praying that only God can understand. Because all it really is crying. All it really is just anguishly lamenting. And you can't even put it into words. But the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Isn't that good? I want you to think about when you had a child, or maybe when you were a child, but there's a baby and they're crying in the other room, and the mother or the father goes into the bedroom, and that baby's, they've had a bad dream, or maybe there was thunder and lightning or something, and they're crying, and you're just holding them. And there's no English. There's no English going on. But there's just, and there's just a communication. And it's all better. I do believe that our God wants us to cry out to Him. And I do believe that our God might even look down and see Satan and all his craftiness and what he's trying to do. And he might say, I think I'll let the devil kind of scare them a little bit or humble them. Because I sure would like to hold them closer and let them just cry. And praying is that. Can I tell you something? In the human flesh, this guy right here doesn't like crying. I don't like crying. And you don't either. I don't like being desperate. I like everything being completely under control. I don't know about you, but that's just the way I like it. And praying is sometimes crying out in desperation. No words, just crying. Remember what the Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, a broken spirit, a contrite heart. That the Lord will not despise that. And all I can do is let out a cry. It's a symbol of desperation, but that's okay. Because the more you grow as a Christian, the more you realize that this is not some independent thing. This is a very dependent thing. This Christian life is really an independence of man, but a very dependence on God. And that crying involves an urgency and intensity as a little child would have with something in their life. Just last week, one little sweetheart girl, she comes to our Anchor Club every Wednesday night. And she got on the bus. I drive a school bus. She got on the bus just the other day. And I mean, the crocodile tears were just flowing. And so as soon as she got on the bus, I put my arm around her. I said, what's wrong? I didn't get a cupcake. I don't know what happened, but somebody, I guess apparently the rest of the class got a cupcake and she fell asleep or something and missed the whole thing. I don't know. I didn't get the whole story. But and you know, when you're in kindergarten or first grade and it gets to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you have a meltdown about everything anyway. I said, well, listen. I said, you come, this is Tuesday, you come tomorrow night to Anchor Club. I'll make sure you get something. And honestly, there are times when I think, man, I sure wish the worst problem I had today was a cupcake. But you know what? Every one of us, no matter the biggest burden you and I have ever had, did you know sometimes God looks down and says, thinks of it like a cupcake? I can handle that. Just come here. I can handle that. You know? So that leads us to the fourth C. So we have coming and calling and crying and committing. Committing. Look with me back in Psalm 37. You know, I'm glad that young lady, that little girl, didn't say, never mind, I don't want to talk about it. I'm glad she told me what the problem was. In Psalm 37 and verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Committing means to release and let go and let God have it. It's the idea of just letting the Lord be in charge, committing, trusting him. And so commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Salvation is that way. You can't get saved without committing to the Lord and letting him be in charge. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, it says it this way. Paul said this, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I can probably quote it, but I'm going to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Salvation is something you commit to God. You just let God be in charge of it. You know, when Satan says, you can't be saved, look at how wicked you are. Listen, I've committed that part of it to God. That's up to God to keep his promise to save me. I've trusted in him. I've committed my ways to the Lord. I trust in him. I know he'll bring it to pass. And there are times, especially when you're newly saved and as you're growing as a Christian, there are times when you start to doubt your salvation. How could God save me? And it is a good question. How could God save us? But he does. And yet we trust him. But then after salvation, there's other things that come in our life. And so 1 Peter chapter 4, we need to recognize that there's going to be suffering. And says the Bible tells us, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, in other words, you're right with God, and because you're right with God, you're suffering for it. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. We have to learn and understand that part of praying is committing. That means we're letting God be in charge of it. It leads to the last C, but I want to finish this point a little bit. Look with me in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I think Mrs. Slagle quoted this verse this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. You know, there's a lot of drugs out there that we wouldn't have to take if you would stop being anxious about things. You and I, just let God have it. That's what committing is. Be full of care for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's humble requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Prayer is about committing things to God, letting God be in charge of it, bringing the need to the Lord and leaving it there. Not bringing your need to the Lord and showing him the problem and then taking it back with you, but bringing it to him and then letting him deal with it. And trusting him to take care of it as he needs to. It really involves taking your hands off of it. If you pray for salvation, but then you keep trying to work for it, you're not really committing to the Lord. Let me say that again. If you pray for salvation, but then you think you need to keep maintaining it, that's not salvation. Salvation is when you let God have it. I've committed unto him. I know whom I have believed, and I've committed to him. It's in his hands. If I'm not going to heaven, it's because God can't save me. It's because God can't keep his promise. I know he can. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so someone said, it's not really a risk to commit to God. You're not really risking. you're recognizing it's kind of a no-brainer to recognize your insufficiency in things and God's all-sufficiency in things and to commit it to Him. We just get so impatient and we get doubtful and discouraged, but we need to trust God. And so praying is obviously coming. You got to come to Him. And you got to call and ask Him. And you got to be willing to cry out to Him when the need arises in desperation. And then commit, which is releasing to Him and trusting Him. And that leads to the last C. And that's back in Psalm 55 again. And this time verse 22. The last one is casting. Casting. It's very close to the committing, but the idea of casting. And it says in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. The men sang that this morning. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens don't need to be carried on by you over and over. No, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let God have it. Real life means you're going to have real burdens. And so we have to learn to unload the burdens and trust Him. And just like the cupcake, my burden's not really a burden to Him. The worst problem I've ever had, the biggest problem I've ever had, is no big deal to Him. And to recognize that and cast your burden upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So when you have that heartache and that heartbreak, talk with Him about it and let Him take that for you. I'm so thankful that little girl opened up to me. You know why? I could handle it. I could handle it. I was afraid of something I wasn't going to be able to handle. But she told me what her problem was, and I thought, I think I can help you with this one. But what I know is God always can handle it. God can take care of it. He loves when we come to Him with this terrible thing, because He can handle it. We can trust Him. He said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Just trust me. And the idea of a yoke is harnessed together. So harness together with me, he's saying. Take my yoke upon you. Well, Delmer, who do you think's doing the most pulling when you're yoked with Jesus? Who's really bearing the burden? Parenting is a burden. But who can be the one that's really carrying it? And all kinds of things are a burden. Now, there's just stuff in our life. It's a burden. But when you're yoked with Him, it's easy. You ever been moving furniture and there's four of you and you know, two of the guys are football players, and I won't say I did this recently because I did help somebody move recently, and I don't want anybody to get mad at me in here, but there's been times where I'm like, ugh. But the truth is I'm just grimacing. Everybody else is carrying the load. I'm just looking like I'm carrying the load. And you know, when you're yoked up with the Lord, that's how it is. Someone might say, how do you do that?
It's tough.
No, the truth is, He's carrying the load. I'm just yoked up to Him. I'm just along for the ride. He's the one that I've cast it upon Him. He's carrying the load. And so casting is unloading and let Him being the burden bearer. So we have coming and calling, crying and committing, and casting. That's prayer. Again, prayer is just talking to God. Prayer is a relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. It's just going to God and asking Him to help us with the need and trusting Him that He has the ability and the desire to help us with the need. And He might along the way correct us about something so that we don't get into this again. But we need to learn to pray and to trust Him and to stop thinking that there are some things that are just too trivial and we shouldn't bother Him with that. Or that some things are so big He wouldn't be able to handle it. Again, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We just have to learn to trust him, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. I think it's good. Now, personally, I'm just, again, speaking humanly here. I don't like it when all of a sudden I got to pay real close attention to the numbers in the checkbook register. And I'm like going, okay, let's see here, on the 10th and the 15th and I don't like it. Do you like that? I don't like that. But you know what? I know God likes it when I have to take the checkbook and go, all right, now, Lord, I need you. Could you, I'm just going to pray because I'm not sure how this is going to fit. I know he likes that. And I also know that, there's plenty in there. Don't need to talk to my father this week. Right? I know he doesn't like that. Maybe that's why I'm always going, because he likes that when I'm talking to him. But lean not unto thine own, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need volunteers for things, and we need to be out soul winning and witnessing. We need people to work behind the scenes and clean the building and do things like that. But you know what we really need? We need to pray. We need to meet together and have preaching and singing. But you know what? We need to pray. You need to prepare your lesson for Sunday school, but you also need to pray. There's a lot of things that we need physically to do and mentally to do, but I think we need to remember something. We need to pray. We need to come and call and cry and commit and cast. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for opportunity to open your word and to read from it tonight. Help us, Lord, to be challenged in the area of praying. So often we just read the Bible, we say a short prayer, but we don't really do what we've talked about tonight. Help us to commune with you in these areas and come before you like a humble child and cast our burden upon you and cry out to you and commit it to you. Understand that you are able what we have to call. Help us to be humble children and recognize you as our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder from your word tonight. Help us to be that kind of a prayer starting tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.